So I'm not going to say what the writers are, but it's basically a windows down hole car, but with like a jungle theme. There's like trees and a monkey.
Sustainable and environmentally friendly as possible. So the packaging I sent things out was, you know, compostable plastic packaging.
There's a few really old ones in here. I'm thinking 90s. I said that's when the doors were black rather than yellow, which is what they are now. Hello again, mate. Welcome to episode 85 of Toy Division. This episode is all about making and creating and a bit of history about the Sydney train system and the zine I've recently put together all about what's known as Tangaras or T-sets, as we will come to learn in this pretty disjointed history lesson and or me whinging about postage and shit like that. I'd just like to give a shout out to everyone that follows us on Instagram. That's Toy Division 2, as in Toy Division 2. If you're still following the old account, yeah, get rid of that, because that's dead, been dead for a long time. And also thanks to everyone that's been sharing, sharing it with mates, sharing it with pals, sharing it with your parents, sharing it on social media, whatever. It's really helpful. You know, as I've said on other episodes, the Patreon is kind of dead, didn't really work out as such, but plans are in motion to try and get something else going. And if you'd like to buy a copy of the upcoming zine, which the episode is kind of all themed around, the link is http, actually no, fuck it, just go to the link in the show notes. So just go on, it's, I think it's like toydivisionpodcast.bigcartel.com. So toydivisionpodcast.bigcartel.com. And yeah, you can, there's still a few copies of the old slam door one left over, so why not get the new, why not pre-order the Tango one and get a copy of that slam door one with it. Big shout out to everyone, and let's jump straight in and please enjoy.
So some insights that I've had since so I put the first scene out, which was the slam doors, and you know, the episode I put out a while ago was like making it and putting it together, learning to use InDesign and stuff like that, which was cool. But one thing I hadn't really thought through was how long it would actually take to post everything. Also, I'd completely fucked it with the postage as well. I actually undercharged every single person that bought it internationally. I undercharged you by... or anyone that did order it, doesn't mean everyone who's listening to this ordered something, but I think I put it at $20, so 20 Australian dollars international tracked postage. Turned out it was $29. So I literally made nothing. I think I was actually at a loss on the last zine. So anyone that was contacting me and whinging about the fucking price and stuff like that, I would probably suggest you haven't got a fucking clue what you're talking about. So always think about that. And I think that's just fucking rude. You know, just, I would never think about looking at someone's zine online, messaging them and being like, oh, it's too expensive. So, well, just don't fucking buy it then. I know I mentioned that on the last episode about the slam doors, but what fucking weird thing to say, oh, that's too expensive. Why don't you just keep your fucking critical, uninformed opinion to yourself? I don't really want to hear it. Especially when I'm like handwriting all the address notes, filling in the customs forms, walking down to the post office, printing them, spending my time and my effort. And I get that. I get the fact that it's all part of it. But I think that's something that people need to realise. Like, oh, well, how the fuck are you charging that much for this? Well, there's all the other things that go into this. And again, I'm not in this for profit. But I'm also not wanting to... I'm literally at a loss on the first scene. So anyway, I'm just whinging now, but I thought that's just important to remind people, is anytime you're criticising someone for a project or a magazine or a book or, you know, all the stuff people put out for free, so much stuff for free. This podcast is free. Oh, I don't like that, don't like this. Well, fucking go and do your own thing or just fucking move on. Unfortunately, it's this idea that everyone's opinion is really worthwhile, and you know what? Often it isn't. Anyway, I am now whinging, but... trying to get this one done was quite a lot easier in terms of the time and the effort with the layout, because I essentially have used a similar layout to the last one. And with this one, there was a lot more. Again, at the beginning, it was quite a lot of me asking around, people saying, oh yeah, I can do that, I can do that, I can do that, and not really a huge amount coming through. There is definitely one person who will have, who sent a pile of flicks, really good flicks, but also little trickly bits, little bits trickling in. And I think probably because this is more of a, I guess this is a zine where there's more likely that people have taken a lot more flicks than tangos, because they're still in service and everyone's access to cameras and whatnot. Just, you know, on your mobile, you can take a good quality flick on your mobile phone or your smartphone. And yeah, there's been some amazing flicks. So, yeah. Also, the great thing about this one has been that it's just felt so much actually easier to just be going through using InDesign. And I guess that's the whole thing I wanted to mention about using new pieces of software or learning something new. One of the main reasons I wanted to make this zine was, or the zines, magazines, whatever, publications, self-published things, whatever the cool term is now, that I wanted to learn how to use InDesign. And it was funny because I hadn't used it for a little while and went back to using it. I was like, fuck, this is really difficult. But that's how you learn. Just fuck things up, make mistakes. I also did really find that sending the other things out, I wanted to make sure everything was as sustainable and environmentally friendly as possible. So the packaging I sent things out was, you know, compostable plastic packaging from the company Fair Dinkum Packaging. Nice little Aussie term there. You know, I got the actual printers, so the place that I got it printed, it's all, you know, they're very much environmentally friendly. I will be putting links to these places in the show notes, because I think supporting things which are sustainable, environmentally friendly, etc., even just the packaging, even the fact that the place where it gets printed, they don't waste ink, they don't waste things, it's all recycled paper, everything is, because, you know, people go, oh, it's fucking, it's all fucking, that's lefty fucking green shit. Well, everyone just chip in and actually make an effort to make things more sustainable, environmentally friendly, because, yeah, why fucking not? Don't believe what Sky News tells you, the fucking Green Party are not the enemy. We're all in this together, supposedly. So, yeah, that's kind of some insights about the actual creation and publication sort of process with that. And then the next issue is going to be all Hitachis. So start getting your flicks scanned, ready to go. And also the great thing about this has been is there's actually was so many flicks I didn't want to leave. There was ones I just couldn't leave out of it. So this is a 30 pager, this one, little 30 page A5 zine, as in issue 2, Tangos. And so now I've whined about what the kind of process was like and probably whinged as always. There is a term, whinging poms, lovely Aussie term for whinging English people. There's definitely some truth to it. So I thought that I would then chuck on a bit of history about the actual Tangara train stock. So again, this isn't mad research sort of stuff. I've lifted most of this off Wikipedia. Wikipedia in general, one of the most shocking things, well, not shocking really, but one of the things I was told very quickly when I was studying at uni was don't quote Wikipedia. And I thought, well, why not? Well, it turns out that Wikipedia, which is an amazing resource really, is created by people that have an interest in the subject. Now, unfortunately, that means that the content isn't super reliable, but I'll be honest, when I look at stuff like this, these are proper nerds that have gone into this stuff. So you can just look up on Wikipedia, Tangara train, and there'll be this stuff there. Or you can just listen to me actually, because I've had a look through, found the most, well, from my perspective, most interesting parts of it. And then I'm gonna basically tell you it now. So when we talk about a Tangara, apparently it's an Aboriginal name, so an Indigenous Australian name, or, well, I say an Indigenous Australian term, meaning to go. There you go, that's nice. There's still a lot of issues with Indigenous people of Australia not being given the rights and the credit and all that type of stuff which they deserve.
good old British Empire colonialism. That's a whole other podcast episode. But, you know, I really like the fact, I didn't know that until I started researching it, what Tangara actually meant. So, again, that was my own lack of knowledge. And they were put together by a company called A, as in A, as in the person's name, A Gonim, if I can say it, A Goninum. this is going well. A Goninum and Co. Really rolls off the tongue, that. And the sets entered service between 1988 and 1995. And that was initially under the State Rail Authority and later City Rail. They're referred to as T-sets. So you may have heard me mention sets. I used to wonder where that came from, went from the Aussie terms, like there's the S-set, the T-set, whatever. But now, having done this research, it makes way more sense why Aussie writers refer to them as certain sets. And the T-sets were built as what's proposed as third generation trains for Sydney's rail fleet. And that was coinciding with the final withdrawals of what's known as the Red Rattler sets, which was happening in the late 80s and early 90s. Now, I had an experience where I saw what's known as a Red Rattler at Sydney Central Station. And it was a bunch of, you know, people that are into keeping the history of these trains and rail enthusiasts. And I went up to him and said, I was really excited. I was like, fuck, I've never seen one of these before. I think it was a Saturday. Walked up, took a photo, saw kind of one of the rail enthusiasts. And I said, is this what's referred to as a Red Rattler? It was the wrong thing to say. That guy was really not happy. I think it had really offended his train nerdiness that someone had said Red Rattler. He said, oh, that's a media-driven term. It's a derogatory term. I was like, oh, okay, fair enough. So that wasn't a super nice interaction. But going back to what's the Tangaras, or known as the T-sets, they were built as what's known as two classes. So there was long distance G-sets. So they would have gone outside of the suburban areas of Sydney, by the looks of it. And the suburban ones were called the T-sets. So originally there was G-sets and T-sets. Not quite sure what the G stands for. And unlike most of other Sydney train rolling stock, the seats on the suburban T-sets are fixed, meaning that half the seats face backwards and half the seats face forwards. Now, what's interesting is that most Sydney trains that you get on, you can actually move the seats. So if you can imagine, say, you're going one way, it gets to that termination spot, and then whilst it's coming back the other way, you would technically be sitting going backwards. But lots of Sydney trains have the seats where you can, by a handle, lift it. If you can imagine, just in your mind's eye, lifting it and moving it the other way, so you can then sit going the other way, if you can imagine, if that makes sense. But what's interesting is the former G sets, which were the long distance ones, do actually have reversible seats. So if you're ever on a Sydney Tangara, if you're ever on a T set now, and it has reversible seats, that was previously a long distance G set. So there you go, nerdiness for you. So I'm just describing what it's going to be looking like because I want to wet everyone's nerd train whistle about what's actually in this zine. So we had a lot more submissions. I said this is a 30 pager. The last one was like quite a lot less than that, 24 page I think. Just there were so many dope flicks that got sent in that were submitted that I had to just increase it by 6 pages. So I'm just looking at what we've got here. So there's one page here, there's a West and crazy, I wouldn't say a windows down whole car, but full colour pieces, just pulling into what I think is you go from the overpass, just going from the Bondi Way into the city, probably where Domain is. What else have we got here? We've got some classic cabe panels back when the Tangos actually had black doors, like I mentioned earlier. Those were pretty spicy. Those were pretty amazing to see. We've got some, actually got a couple here that look like they're quite far out in the mountains. So I wonder if they're the G sets. I wonder if they actually have those reversible seats. That'd be interesting. And it's not the greatest flick. There's a big pole right in the middle, but it is basically a windows down whole car and another panel, so I had to put it in, and it's a really nice scenic scene in the background. There's some, okay, these are fucking bangers. I'd actually forgotten about a couple of these. There's a couple of runners, I think Zion and Eras. I actually caught some of these flicks actually were from my own collection, because I spend a lot of time on the train network and used to see quite a few trains. Not always get the best flicks, but they had to include those. And also a UBM and an RS shop right from above, and possibly one of my favourite things in the whole zine. So I'm not going to say what the writers are, but it's basically a windows down hole car, but with like a jungle theme. There's like trees and a monkey, and that's looking fucking dope. Also, there's some actual in-yard shots with someone crouched down finishing off their panel. That's pretty dope. Also, there's some really, there's actually an action shot of the whole car getting done. Yeah, even with the stepladder and all. And there's also some great, I was actually very happy with some of these running flicks. There's a couple in here that are mine, and I was like, fucking hell. Those are ones I probably actually hunted down or saw, you know, and you're kind of like trying to move to the end of the station platform and not look too suspicious that you're like running to get to the end to catch them just as they pull out of the actual platform so you can get the full shot. Because people may or may not know this, but in Sydney, because they're double deckers, often if the train is pulled into the station, half of the kind of train, because it's literally a flat surface all the way almost down to the ground, is cut off, so you can't see it. So I was sent a lot of flicks. People sent me some amazing flicks, but so many of them were like sliced in half. I think I've only included one where it's sliced in half, so I've only tried to include the ones where it's like a full shot, like a full panel shot. And yeah, that's meant I had to cut out quite a few, which would have been looked really good, but only seeing half the panel, I just don't know about that. I actually put some insides in as well, because just one flick that's insides, but it really gives you an idea of how hammered they must have been. It's about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 tags by the same person on the floor of one of the carriages. Because I know that Sydney inside used to be pretty hammered at one point anyway. So it was nice seeing that. And also there's a few really old ones in here. I'm thinking 90s. I said that's when the doors were black rather than yellow, which is what they are now. And actually, no, I've just seen another one where it's actually the panel is only cut in half, but it was so good I just couldn't leave it out, and that's actually one I caught myself. And I think one of my favourite panels in the whole thing, there's a couple of action shots. Some cool action shots, and noticing that, and it's like, oh, okay, they're using the water-based stuff. Seems to be pretty common these days, especially when it's in a space where it's going to be, the fumes are kind of stuck in. And I've seen that on quite a few international things, you know, using that water-based Montana so that it doesn't absolutely stink, because that's one thing which often people could notice, because they can fucking smell spray paint. So anyway, so that's and then there's this panel I'm looking at now. I remember being sent, it's like one says diabolical and the other one says sulfur, and they are absolute burners. Literally there is flames kind of in the background. Thanks to everyone that sent flicks, they're so good. And I'm actually looking at another couple here. Yeah, so there's flicks in here from the 90s, the early noughties, the teenies, I guess, the 20s, the 2020s, very recent, all the way through. As with the first mag, I haven't labelled them, I haven't gone specifically into, I just want each flick to kind of speak for itself. I've wanted it to just kind of look like a photo album, really. I haven't wanted it to look, I don't know, you know, those sort of mags where they kind of mishmash everything together, or like have them overlapping each other, or it's like pixelated. There was quite a few flicks as well that I wanted to put in, and people did submit them. Thanks to people that did. But some people sent screenshots, And a screenshot is so small, when you make it larger, it'll just be pixelated. And that's one of the things I really don't like, is magazines that have cheap, crappy, pixelated images in them, because they're just not, no one wants to see a pixelated shit thing. There's also a fucking top to bottom Hulk eye here that I don't think I've ever seen before. And from what I can understand, it's an exclusive and it's by a writer that I really rate. And if you know the style, you know the style. And that's been really amazing, because this stuff that's been coming in that has just been amazing. So yeah, thanks to everyone that submitted, and pre-order a copy. Get online now, pre-order a copy. And like I said in the intro and probably in the outro as well, which I'll do, there's multiple ways of supporting us. So buying one of these zines means that we'll continue on. You know, the next issue will be specifically Hitachi's. And then I think after that, I think I'm probably going to go on a bit of a break from publishing these zines. But this one's been great, and I love the way it got to 30 pages. So I hope this has been interesting. And I said, go and fucking pre-order one now. Cheers. So that's episode 85, done and dusted. Probably one for the Megatrain nerds, people that are interested in hearing about seats going forwards and backwards and T-sets and G-sets and fucking whatever. But that fucking sums me up. I actually learned quite a lot from reading that, even though it was just lifted straight off Wikipedia. If you want to support us even more, best things you can do are the following. Follow us on Instagram, that's Toy Division 2 on Instagram. But more importantly, give us a review if you use Apple Podcasts or iTunes, whatever the fuck it's still called. A written 5-star review is amazing, and we're going to start reading out new 5-star written reviews at the beginning of episodes. So if you want to hear your review, I don't know if you can swear on it, but maybe chuck some swears in there, then do that. Also in Spotify, you can give a 5-star rating, I think it's called. But these are the types of things which push Toy Division to more people. You know, the Patreon didn't work in its first form, but I really want to make Toy Division keep going, and I would really like to get 2 episodes coming out a month. So buying a copy of the zine will make that happen. Contributing by sharing with your friends, all these types of things will keep it going. I'd love to get to a point where I'm making like multiple a month and actually making a tiny bit of money and potentially part of my living from it. But you know, these things take time. So thanks so much for the support. Thanks for listening. And like I said, if you want to support us even more, share, rate, review, all that fucking gibberish. And get ready for another episode in a month's time. See you in a bit. Peace out. Toy Division.